Welcome to another edition of Sunday Conversations. I'm your host, Michael Soul, and thank you so much for joining us. I pray that you and your family are being safe in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, as we have seen record numbers of cases rise, not only in the state of Georgia, but also in the state of Alabama. And we want to continue to encourage each and every one of you to please be safe, continue to practice social distancing, continue to wear your mask when you have to go out into the public. It's just so many more cases of the coronavirus, and it is continuing to spread, and we've got to stop the spread. It coincided with the opening of businesses. We saw the numbers going down in April and May when the shelter-in-place order was in place. And once that was lifted and businesses began to open back up, then the cases began to rise. And here in the last couple of days and the last couple of weeks, we've seen the number of cases just rise tremendously. So we pray that you are taking all precautions and being mindful that we are still in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. And with that being said, our special show today is called Courage During Corona. Of course, there are stories of hope, stories of optimism, and our special guest today all exemplify those stories of hope and optimism. We will talk with the owner of a new kombucha store. What is kombucha? Well, you'll find out with our special guest, Suyun Wood. She represents Bijou Craft Kombucha. And what else is happening right here in the Tri-City area? We've got a brand new CEO and president of the Columbus Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk with Gerald Mitchell. He is the first African-American to serve in that post. And we will be joined by our legendary emeritus in the House of Representatives and State Representative Calvin Smyre, over 46 years representing the state and our nation, serving in the Georgia legislature. We'll talk to him about the new hate crimes bill that was just signed on Friday. And now, welcome to another edition of Sunday Conversations. This is Sunday Conversation, and welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. So during the past 90 days, of course, everybody knows we've been in the coronavirus pandemic. One of the things that we have tried to focus on is actually our local community and our local businesses and our local organizations and things that are happening right here in our city. My special guest is Suyun Wood, and she's representing BU Craft Kombucha. Welcome to Sunday Conversations, Suyun.
Hi, thank you. Just a quick note, it is Bijou Craft Kombucha, but we take anything at this point.
Bijou. Okay, I got it. And I'm going to make sure I say that correctly. Bijou.
No worries.
Bijou Craft Kombucha. First of all, Suyun, how long have you been in the Columbus community?
So my husband and I moved to Columbus about 5 years ago. So we've been here for a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know what kombucha is, let's talk about that, because
okay,
I know during the pandemic as well, we've been focusing a lot on health and how, you know, there are underlying health conditions which make us more susceptible to catching the coronavirus. But talk about kombucha and what this drink is all about.
For sure. So kombucha is, I like to call it an effervescent probiotic tea. That means it's a slightly carbonated sweet tea that's been fermented over a period of time. So it has probiotics in it. Probiotics are really important for your full holistic health, because gut health is our second brain. Our gut is our second brain. And it's full of probiotics, and your good gut health actually turns over about every 4 days. So providing your body with a source of that good bacteria is really important. And one of the ways that people like to do it, and I like to do it, is by drinking kombucha. So think like beer, but without the alcohol.
Right. So I'll be honest with you. I was in Whole Foods in Atlanta,
okay,
and I've seen several different brands of the drink, and just didn't know what it was. And
right,
so you've mentioned the health benefits, but wait, what made you want to go that direction?
So I tell the story a lot, but my end goal was never to have a brick and mortar store, which is what we have. I was making it in my kitchen for fun, because I love food and I love science, and it was like the perfect match of them both. And And I realized that not only did my friends want it, but their friends wanted it. So I had to find a way to sell it legally. And in that process, I just figured out more and more. And to do that, I now have a storefront in downtown Columbus.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest on Sunday Conversations, Suyun Wood, her store, Bijou Craft Kombucha. And again, you mentioned the location. Let's talk about that. Where are you all located?
We are at 1204 First Avenue and Suite C. We're like two doors down from Plucked Up, and we're actually connected to a women's clothing boutique as well.
Have you guys been open during the pandemic? Were you allowed to stay open? Or?
Yeah, we were. So we got our manufacturing license approved a week and a half before the shelter in place was put in place. And then we opened our tap room the first week of May. So literally just in the middle of the pandemic is when we opened.
Right. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Bijou Craft Kombucha. What's that experience like for anyone who would come? What are they going to get when they come to your store?
So one thing that we offer, we offer a multitude of things that you won't get just by getting kombucha at your grocery store. The first one being that all of our kombucha is made either with honey or with agave. That means we use no refined sugar in our process. The next thing that I really like, obviously because it's my brand, is the personalization. So because I'm a brew witch, I do all the brewing and I run the tap room, it's my face you see all the time and I get to interact with my customers and I provide that familiarity to people who have now become more than just customers and friends at this point. And the last thing I would say is that we're really just trying to expand kombucha to a new market. Our use of alternative sweeteners really gives a much milder palate. So we find that new people to kombucha actually enjoy it, whereas a lot of the store-bought stuff is kind of vinegary and most people don't like that.
Mm-hmm. So as you were talking, though, I'll be honest with you, my mouth started watering. I won't say I'm salivating up here, but on the real, it makes me now want to come and visit. What are your hours for your store?
Our hours right now are Tuesday through Saturday from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. When we have pop-ups in shop on Saturdays, we do open an hour early. So most Saturdays are 11 to 4 right now.
Okay. And are you on social media?
We are. So our primary source of not our primary source, but the best way we tell our customers when we have new flavors or events is our Instagram. It's at B-E-E, so B, J-O-U dot kombucha. So it's Bijou dot kombucha. We're also very active on Facebook as well.
Our special guest on Sunday Conversations, Suyun Wood, and we're talking about Bijou Craft Kombucha, a new store here in the Columbus market. And we want everybody to support this store because, you know, our campaign, Suyun, has been locals supporting locals. You know,
oh, for sure.
We've got the national brands coming in, but we want to support our community. And so I appreciate you again being our guest on Sunday Conversations to tell our listeners, you know, what you're not only doing for your customers, but for the community as well. What are the hot flavors right now that's just really popping down there?
So we have five permanent flavors and one that rotates. The one that's rotating right now is a blueberry rosemary lemonade, and it is amazing. My friend and I actually handpicked the blueberries and made it all ourselves. So it was a labor of love. 9 hours of labor went into that flavor, and 5 pounds of blueberries went into that flavor. So I'm really happy with it. I will say, if you're a new kombucha drinker, our agave sunrise is the best flavor. It tastes nothing like kombucha, but it's still got all the benefits of kombucha.
I think I want that one.
It's delicious. It's flavored with tart cherry, lime, and grapefruit. I've heard people say it's kind of like a cherry limeade, or it'd be really good as a margarita. I mean, it's up to you how you want to drink it. Yeah. But
so, of course, in the midst of the pandemic, there are every store has their rules and how they operate. How are you guys, you know, making sure that, you know, your customers feel comfortable when coming? Or is there curbside? How does that work?
Yeah, so we still offer curbside if the customer prefers that. They can give us a call or check out on our website. We also bleach between every customer. We bleach down all the tables, all the square reader, the countertop, the door frame, all of it. And we keep it very sanitary at all times. Our customers have been really good about keeping the distance, and we have very spaced out tables. So it's been a really nice environment where people aren't getting too crowded, and we're able to maintain that cleanliness for everyone.
All right. What's the and what's the tagline for the store? Yeah, what's that one thing you want customers to remember?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the best one-liner I can come up with is kombucha that doesn't give you kombucha face.
I love it. Soo-Yeon, thank you so much for being on Sunday Conversations. And a phone number, if someone's listening, and of course they want to put the phone in and give you guys a call.
706-530-1009.
All right. Soo-Yeon, thank you so much for being on Sunday Conversations. Of course, I wish you continued success and unlimited progress. And look for me to stop through. Take care. And the way I've been ending my conversations on Sunday Conversations for these last 90 days is be safe and be blessed. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Have a great day.
Take care. Welcome to Sunday Conversations. We're here with the new president and CEO of the Columbus Chamber of Commerce, Gerald Mitchell. Welcome to Columbus, sir.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Great. Again, what made you choose Columbus?
I think the existing toolbox of things that are on the ground here already was absolutely appealing. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's such a diverse mix of business that's already here on the ground, the fact that leadership in the community is cohesive, those things were extremely appealing. I can't overstate enough how hospitable and welcoming the community has been up to this point. And I can't imagine that that's just not a part of Columbus's DNA.
Yeah. So Columbus still stands to be put on the map.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Macon, you've got Savannah. How do we put Columbus on the map?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that it's really a mentality or a mindset. Mm-hmm. I think it starts by making sure that those Columbusites who aren't proud of Columbus find reasons to be proud of Columbus.
Yeah.
And I think it's a factor or a measure of making sure that we're all speaking with the same voice about the things that are great about our community.
Yeah.
In addition to that, it's getting to a point where we're finding the right levers to pull and buttons to push externally to make sure that everybody knows that Columbus is open for business and that this is a welcoming place where anybody can thrive. I think that now, during this period of pandemic and other challenge, I think there may be more people that are trying to find out how they can enjoy e-working and other quality of life components that don't necessarily, or who won't necessarily need to have that in a large market.
Right.
So one of the things that we want to make sure that we start to explore is how to capture those people who don't need to be in Chicago anymore,
yeah,
or don't need to be in some of those major markets that want warmer weather in a welcoming environment. That is also extremely well equipped to conduct business or provide success in the business arena.
And less traffic.
Less traffic.
I hear that from everybody,
yeah,
coming from everywhere to Columbus. Yeah, it's a 15-minute commute anywhere.
Yep, so, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So talk about your family, of course.
Yeah, so I'm from Savannah.
Okay.
Most of my family's still in Savannah. I've got family in Atlanta. My wife and I live in the city of Decatur.
Okay.
We will be, of course, relocating to Columbus. We're excited about that. We don't have any small ones time, but
okay,
we do have a small dog that'll be relocating with us.
When you think of community service, what comes to mind with that, and what will you bring to the city?
Yeah, well, the first thing that came to mind when you said that is, finding ways to just get involved. There are a myriad of needs, and what we have to recognize, or what I want to recognize, is that I have to leverage the things that I'm good at to find where the needs are and get involved and actually make an impact. That's really important to me. It's been something I've done for my entire life, frankly, finding ways to get involved, whether it was showing up at missions,
mm-hmm,
and providing meals, for the needy, whether it's been working with Habitat. Those have been things that have been a part of who I am as I've built my personal life and career. And, you know, I intend to continue to do that.
Again, I know the question was asked, or the statement was made, the first black mm-hmm. CEO and president mm-hmm. of the Columbus Chamber of Commerce. Yeah. How does that feel for you?
Again, it's extremely humbling. It's a fact that I was not aware of until recently. But I also know that, you know, this is a good thing, and this is a great moment. We're having good conversations about how to be a whole society. And again, I am very humbled by the opportunity to do this and lead the business community. And I look forward to the support that's going to be driven our way. And I'm looking forward to being as supportive as I can in that role.
Here's the curveball.
Okay.
It said you opted out at one time not to come. Mm-hmm. And so we've been kind of focusing on courage during Corona. What was that decision that said, okay,
yeah.
Okay, Lord.
Yeah.
Let me make this move.
Well, that was the decision. I mean, you know, my wife and I, we talked about it, we prayed about it, and we got to a good place. And I got to tell you, I mean, the scenario that I'm coming from with the Atlanta Beltline, there's nothing wrong with that opportunity at all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dynamic things happening in the city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
The experience and exposure at the Atlanta Beltline is top notch above, you know, there's nothing above that. It's on an equal plane with so many different things. But then when we explored this opportunity in Columbus, there was something that was just pulling us in. Again, all of the pieces are on the table and at play. And again, we just didn't want to walk away.
Gerald, I want to thank you for being on Sunday Conversations. Best wishes.
Thank you so much.
Continued success and unlimited progress.
Thank you so much. Yes, I hope everybody's safe, and I look forward to working with people in the community.
This is Sunday Conversations, and thank you for listening to the show. And now we move to our next portion of the show, as we call this Courage During Corona. And on the line with me, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary one and only Calvin Smyre. How you doing, sir?
Fine. How are you this morning? It's great to be with you and your listening audience, Michael. I listen to you often, and you've been a friend over the years, and thank you for all of your service to our community as well.
Thank you for your service. 46 years.
Yep.
Man.
Yep. I think about it, and this legislative session, I tell you, this was a six-month session because of the coronavirus, and usually our sessions are 3 months, but this was by far the toughest because of the pandemic, and these last 10 days were very grueling and very difficult because we were in different sections of the state capitol. There were maybe 90 of us on the floor, and 50 or so in the galleries, and then 40 or so in the appropriations committee room. So being separated and being away from each other and being able, each vote took about 15 to 20 minutes, and it kind of bogged things down, and only a few items got prioritized. So with that in mind, it's a tough session. We're glad this is over, and hopefully we can rebound in our state economically and from an economic and economy standpoint and get back to some normalcy, whatever that may be. But we're still asking people to be safe. It was mandatory mask at the legislative session, and we're asking people to be safe and still practice social distancing and also wear masks.
Calvin, thank you so much for addressing that. Ladies and gentlemen, Democratic State Representative Calvin Smyre, the longest serving member of the General Assembly. And the reason why, Calvin, we wanted to talk to you today on Sunday Conversations is about HB 426, the hate crime bill. And speaking of masks, I see you in the picture with Governor Brian Kemp signing this bill. And most, I think 99% of everybody had on masks in that picture.
Yes. You know, we met with the governor prior to the bill signing. We all wore masks in his office.
Okay.
You got to practice what you preach.
That's right.
People don't understand this is a serious, serious matter. And we've got to, as active as I am, I've been on hundreds of Zoom calls and VMix call and Duo and Slack and things that I, you know, I knew about but never participated in.
Right.
So everybody uses a different media apparatus, and so it's been a trying time. So at the ceremony, we all wore our masks except for when we spoke at the podium, and then we removed them to speak, and we immediately put them back on. But being able to be asked by the leadership of the General Assembly to speak and to participate in the program, and having gotten one of the pens that the governor used to sign the bill, it was a historic moment. And this was critical for Georgia to do. We always are touting Georgia's the best state in America to do business in, but yet we were one of four states in America without a hate crime.
Right.
And we had to send the signal that Georgia will not tolerate hate.
Right.
And after witnessing, and we've got many, many examples of hate in our state, but after witnessing Ahmaud Arbery killing there in Brunswick, we had to do something, and I think that was the catalyst. And because the bill had sat in the Senate 460 days without a hearing, hadn't even been called up.
Wow.
So I think that the pressure was on. And I want to give credit where credit is due. I think the young people, the others that were the rainbow that was in the street, and I always say that without external support and internal pressure, there could be no internal support or internal action. So that external pressure was on the members of the General Assembly, the members of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity. They put a petition out over America. They garnered over 1 million signatures on support of House Bill 426. So external pressure matter. Agitation matter. Advocacy matters. So it's just a thing that we got to understand. And Black Lives Matter.
Yes, sir.
And we just got to understand that where we are, and I tell people all the time, although we just passed a hate crime bill, that's not the cure-all. That's not a panacea.
That's right.
That is a start on what we ought to be addressing and calling for change in our policing, in our community policing, in our reform of policing, and how we address our criminal justice system as it relates to citizens' arrest. It's too broad. And stand your ground is too broad. So we've got to look at those when we come back in 2021. And again, those that were that have been applying pressure in our protesting and our advocacy roles, I commend you all. I attended the march that you emceed, were in charge of there at the Citizen Service Center.
Yes, sir.
I was very, very reluctant to get out. But I did get out for a couple of the marches, and then I drove to Brunswick in honor of Ahmaud Arbery to meet his family and participate in a rally there. So I try to do what's the essential things, because we're still in this pandemic, and I think I just don't want people to relax too
right.
much. I just don't want them to drop the guards, and because the reports we're getting is that it's ticking back up. So
yes, sir.
I keep going back to that because I just want to stress that. So yeah, we passed the hate crime bill on Friday, and it was a great day for Georgia, and to me, it was a defining moment for the state of Georgia.
Let's talk about that, Calvin, and thank you again for being with us on Sunday Conversations as we get ready to close out the show. Let's talk about the hate crime bill. Exactly what does it do, and what does it say?
Well, Michael, in 46 states, we have hate crimes. Now in 47 states. And we researched, of course, I participated in the hate crime bill back in 2000, the one that was ruled unconstitutional. And it was a very, very broad bill. I mean, you could attack somebody or do something again. I mean, it could be considered hate. I mean, it was just too broad, and the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional. So for years, we tried to form coalitions, and we just couldn't get it off the ground. And then in 2016, I had a conversation with the chair of the Judiciary Committee at that time, Wendell Willett, and he said, you know, we ought to start looking back at this hate crime, you know, because we had incidents of of the church up in Gainesville and other incidents of, mm-hmm. of hate exhibited in our state, and then we were still one of five states at that time without a hate crime, and so that was a bill that we drafted, and we tried to shop it, but it had mandatory sentences in it. And NAACP, ACLU, and a lot of our advocacy group saying that they just could not, because of the prison pipeline, they could not go along with another mandatory sentence bill. And so we dropped it, but we didn't move it. So we came back and in 2018 and 19, looking at another bill. And what this is the bill that came forward, HB 426. Which is a Sentence Enhancement Act. In other words, if you committed a hate crime, you commit a crime, then if that crime was against a victim or a group of victims based on race, color, religion, national origin, sex, sexual orientation, gender, mental disability, or physical disability, the trier of fact, in this case, which would be the judge, could give you an additional sentence, whether it was a misdemeanor or a felony, if it was deemed that it was a hate crime. And reason ours is a sentence enhancement because the establishment of a hate crime at the front end is a very, very difficult course. The 46 states that have hate crimes prior to Georgia, 40 are sentence enhancement and 6 are standalone. In other words, you have to establish hate at the beginning of the trial and adjudication of the trial. Mm. Whereas in our instance, if you commit a crime and doing that crime and hate is related to it, and without it, with a reasonable doubt that is established in the trial that in the course of you committing this crime that it was based on hate on those items and those victims that I just enumerated, then the judge can attack an additional penalty of less than 1 year if it's a misdemeanor, and 5 years if it's a felony, and an additional fine of $5,000. So our bill is a penalty enhancement, and if you, under the auspices of the law, if you commit a crime and then it is determined that it's based on race, religion, etc., then it would be considered a hate crime in addition to the penalty and the crime that you had committed to bring you to court. So that's the crux of our law. And we did add one additional item, which the Senate wanted, and that was a data collection agency,
yes,
to establish a registrar in our state that would keep up with the cases and keep up with this data. And establish a registry as well. So it would be a data collection aspect of this as well. So we think we've got a good bill, and it sends a strong message. And I just think that we took bold action. It took us a long time, but at the same time, the establishment of designated misdemeanors. Also, simple assault, simple battery, criminal trespassing, misdemeanor theft by taking. Some of those areas are areas that if you commit a battery on somebody and you get into it with them and there's an assault involved, then once that case goes to trial, And if there's an establishment that you did it because of that person's religion or you did it because of that person's sex or gender or whatever, then you could be given additional penalty. So we pattern ours after the 40 states rather than after the 6 states.
Calvin, again, thank you for being on Sunday Conversations, and thank you for all your service and your example of service to not only our community, our state, and our nation. It's something that I always take with me is one of your sayings that just from being up under you, being around you, if you see a turtle on a fence post,
hello somebody. You know that he or she didn't get them by themselves. And I use that. My friend said, please don't use that key. don't use that turtle anymore. And but it's to me it's profound.
It is.
In that if you stay grounded in who you are, then you know that you didn't do it by yourself.
That's right.
And I just think as an elected official and a community leader and a servant leader, and I can consider public service as my ministry, then I think you have to, you know, you have to be grounded and internalize that in all that you do and all that you accomplish, you didn't do it by yourself, that others had to assist you and be involved with you. And I said that to my colleagues in the well of the House. And after we passed the bill, and I took a morning order to thank the members of the Georgia Legislative Black Caucus, the members that stood by me, that I could call at night and they could collaborate with me, because a journey of this year, this was a four-year journey, a journey of this year, of this magnitude, you just majestically couldn't do it alone and by yourself. And I had a lot of help, and I want to tell the members of my Columbus delegation, all of them, they were all supported, both the House and the Senate, Ed Harbison, Carolyn Hughley, Richard Smith, Randy Robinson, Debbie Buckner, and Dan Smith. All of them, they were just privately helping me and assisting me in every turn. And I wasn't the author of the bill, but I was given a lot of latitude by the speaker and the author to do with the things that I've done over the years and kind of served as a person going back and forth with the state Senate. But Chuck Estration, the author of the bill, did an outstanding job. And I mentioned him yesterday in my remarks at the state capitol, at the governor's signing ceremony, and Speaker David Ralston, the Speaker of the House.
Yes.
It was just Lieutenant Governor Duncan and all those involved, Michael. It was just a good day. And the key to this was it was bipartisan.
Right.
We were determined that in the House and Senate, we would not pass anything that we couldn't get the support of both the Republican and Democratic caucuses. And that's how our bill passed. And it was a tremendous victory along those lines. We're combative and I'm a Democrat, but we did it with bipartisan. The Senate started off without being bipartisan, and after the vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee, all the Democrats voted against it. And then we went back to the drawing board, and we told them that we just would not accept anything they sent from the Senate that didn't have bipartisanship or bipartisan support. And they went back to the drawing board, and we came up with something where it was 40-76 in the Senate, so it had all of the Democrats and most of the Republican support. So that's where we are.
Calvin, may God continue to bless you with
Thank you, my man.
Success and unlimited progress. Thank you for being on Sunday Conversation, sir. Be safe and be blessed.
Thank you. Appreciate you and your support and all that you do. And best regards to you and your family.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sunday Conversations. Continue to practice social distancing. Continue to wear your mask when you have to go out into the public. I'm seeing so many more masks, and that is a good sign, ladies and gentlemen. That means that we want to beat this thing. That means that we want to stop the spread of the coronavirus. I certainly have enjoyed my time with you on Sunday Conversations, holding it down for our illustrious host. He's coming back to the airwaves. I'm talking about the one and only Teddy Reese. Everybody continue to be safe. Peace and God bless. This is Sunday Conversations. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.